dominant company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game, Fireball Hot Take Friday. We are streaming on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Just search Dominant Company, presented by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. So we are putting in a new rule on the radio show today. I have not discussed this with Caroline, nor have I discussed this with Ian. But I have decided, in light of recent events, you know, like the school principal who puts in rules after something bad happens, like no more of this kind of clothing at this school.
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm deciding that I want to do today. Taylor Lewan yesterday, after his wretchedly awful performance on Sunday, spoke to the media. And Taylor Lewan decided he wanted to apologize to all the Titan fans out there for his terrible performance. Take a listen.
You know, that doesn't take away from, like, Chandler Jones is a stud, right? Like, there's no denying he's dumbing me all day. Like, I'm not going to live in, like, oh, this, or I did this or that. Like, I have to be accountable. Like, I wasn't accountable in that game to my team, to myself, to my family, to everyone watching, to you guys, to the fans. And, you know, you go in, you get an IV, and you're cramping, you come back out, and they announce that I'm back in the game, and you get booed from the fans, and, you know, that stuff happens, man. It hurt, but at the same time, the way I was playing, I don't blame them. You know, this is, they want the team to do well. They're not just rooting for me. So I'm sorry for letting them down.
Okay. And I'm sure that a lot of fans had a lot of sympathy after hearing that, for the message from the heart.
Oh, so sweet to
just
him.
Right there from the
so
heart.
So sweet.
By the way, they don't announce when offensive linemen enter the game in the NFL. This is not baseball. Like, we're, you know, now pinch hitting. This is not, you know, they don't
second
do
baseman.
Could you imagine doing that in football, like every play? Like, ladies and gentlemen, now entering the game, Anthony Firkser, Racy McMath, and Julio Jones. Now leaving the game, Derrick Henry, Kari Blasingame, and AJ Brown.
I think he would pass out from lack of oxygen.
Yes, you can't do that.
No.
So, no, the idea of they announced me back in the game in the fans' booth, that never happened, because that's not what happens in the NFL. The quarterback is the only position that they announce when there's a change. The only one in the entire sport. So,
but what if you have a podcast? Do they change the rules for that?
And that's where we're going with this. Here's the new Taylor Lewan rule. I don't give a crap about anything he says anymore. I don't care. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to read about it. I am done with Taylor Lewan talking. I have dealt with Taylor Lewan's talking for like 6 years now, where Taylor Lewan says this, what do we think? And I just don't care anymore. Here's the reality of it. The dude's playing on a one-year contract. He's making a lot of money this year. And at the end of the year, he signed for next year. And if he stinks it up this year, they're going to cut him and they're going to save $15 million on the cap or whatever the number is, because they don't owe him any money after this year. So he's essentially playing for his job. And the one thing that football and basketball players have to understand is that you are what you do on the field. Taylor Lewan is not a famous podcaster because he has a lot of talent. I have listened to that podcast, and he's not devoid of podcasting talent, but he's not a great talent. He's just a guy who talks and brings on famous people because he's famous. And you know why he's famous? Because he plays football. Not because he's a great podcaster. There's a difference between him and Joe Rogan. Again, he's only famous because he's good at football. He's only rich because he's good at football. People only listen to his podcast because he's good at football.
And we are getting an absolute flood of texts and comments saying that they did announce that it did happen.
Did they really?
Yeah.
The PA announcer announced at the game, now re-entering the game for the Titans, Taylor Lewan.
Yes.
I was at the game.
I was there too.
Did you hear it?
No. But we have, I'm not kidding you, 15 texts and several comments.
How? They never do that.
I'm just saying.
They never do that.
I didn't pick up on it, but I mean, several
proof.
People are saying that it happened.
And maybe you're right. I'm going to need proof from that. But, and if so, then I apologize. But if so, they don't do that in the NFL. Whatever. All right. Give me
what it happened.
I don't care anymore. And I don't care about what Taylor Lewan says. I'm over it. I'm over people reacting to Taylor Lewan. You know, you realize, like, most Titan fans, like, don't live on Twitter and aren't, like, trying to be cool on the internet.
Yeah.
Like, there's an entire radio show that is dedicated to being cool on Twitter. And I just don't care about that. Because Twitter doesn't matter. Twitter has never mattered. Like, it is not a reflection of real life. And so I think about Titan fans like my dad. Mm-hmm. My dad will never listen to Taylor Lewan's podcast. Not because he's going out of his way to not listen. He'll just never listen to Taylor Lewan's podcast because he's never going to listen to that podcast.
Well, it has a very niche audience.
Right. And that's who I feel like all this.
And it's not your dad.
And I feel like that's who all this is for. Like the Taylor Lewan circus that comes with like the tweet about the Chandler Jones thing or the, I apologize. That is an attention grab is what that is. That is an attention grab to get out there and say, I want to apologize to all the fans and I got my butt whooped and I'm sorry fans that Chandler Jones beat me and let me tag Chandler Jones. It's all about attention.
Yeah.
And I don't care about attention anymore. And I'm a talk radio host. It's got an incredibly popular show in this town. And so what I'm going to do is ignore all of it and focus on you playing football. And that's the new rule because I don't care. I don't care what body part Mike Vrabel says he's going to cut off on your podcast.
But we do know what body part it was.
We do know they don't cut his Schmenzer off if they win a Super Bowl. I do not care. I'm over caring about Taylor Lewan. You know that Taylor Lewan has played half the games over the last two seasons. He's played a half the games. Dude, you play half the games. Let's care about the people that play all the games. Like, when's Nate Davis's podcast coming out? I don't care. So the new rule is, no more Taylor Lewan attention giving when Taylor Lewan wants to go out and get attention, unless the attention is related to blocking.
You're sounding a bit shut up and play right now.
Yeah. Play. Block.
I mean, I understand.
There's a difference, though, because the whole shut up and play thing is like all about politics. And I'm not telling somebody. Yeah, that's, well, Laura Ingraham started the, you know, told LeBron to shut up and dribble, and that's what started all that.
Okay.
So that's like a political thing.
But I think it also applies to other things as well, as like, you know, your value comes on the field, and that's about it.
Yes.
But that's not it. Like, I'm not anti Taylor Lewan having a podcast. I'm not anti.
You think Taylor Lewan make $50 million a year being a podcaster?
No, but that's not what I'm saying. And because if he wants to not make $50 million a year and just be a podcaster, that's up to him. I mean,
I have no problem with that. No problem with that.
Go for it.
Nobody here cares about that.
Correct.
Like, that's the thing I'm trying to get through to people. It's like, nobody cares. The only reason people care, it's like basketball players that are like, you know, I am more than just a basketball player. It's like, I hear you, but they're buying your shoes to play basketball. Like, they're not, you know, they're not. That's, and I have no problem with people that want to use their platform for something positive.
Yes.
But I'm also not in the business of just giving people attention. Like, LeVar Ball did this. Like,
he just went out of his way. The queen of attention seekers.
He just went out of his way to get attention all the time. And it worked. But do you want LeVar Ball to play left tackle for you?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
So the new rule on the radio show is no attention to Taylor Lewan unless it has to do with football.
Okay, that's fair.
That's it.
Have we ever given Taylor Lewan attention for anything other than football?
Yeah, remember that time he tweeted us because we were talking about what he said about the Preds?
Yeah. No more Twitter gossip.
Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Fireball Hot Take Friday. Chris is up next on Derrick Henry and the passing game. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Good.
Well, first of all, I wanted to say I'm definitely into the idea that Henry's going to have a big week this week. I feel like it definitely is a time for him to have a big week. However, I think it wouldn't be such a terrible idea, and tell me if you agree, if the Titans come out to start the game with, say, a four wide receiver passing set, and they use the pass to set up the run rather than using the run to set up the pass.
And what four wide receivers do you want to put on the field?
Excuse me, sir?
What four wide receivers do you want to put on the field?
That's a question I wanted to ask you. What about Josh Reynolds? Is he available yet?
I guess he would be, but they don't want to put him on the field.
Okay. Well, I mean, you make a good point there. But still, it seems like something that would be a little different from what we usually do. And we are on the road in a hostile environment. Also, Tannehill's supposed to be using the silent count this week, which
I'm worried about that. Yeah, no, I'm worried about that. Thank you for your call, Chris. I will say this about like a plan like that. When you have a bread and butter in the NFL and you've been really successful for the better part of 2 years with your bread and butter, the last thing you want to do is just change up everything you do. This is not a five wide from the shotgun kind of team. And you're not going to go to Seattle and win by tricking them going five wide out of the shotgun. You should remember, this team does not have a right tackle. So you're going to have to help out the right tackle. On top of the fact, you're going to have to help out the left tackle right now unless he learns how to block. So now you can't send four guys out into the pattern. And if Derrick Henry's not out there, then the defense knows exactly what you're going to do on every play, so they're going to tee off on your quarterback. So it sounds nice to be like, hey, let's spread them out, Bobby. But I just don't think that's something that they can do on Sunday against Seattle.
Also, I would like to add that the Titans injury report was just released.
Give it to me.
So Bud Dupree, Anthony Firkser, David Long, and Jayon Brown are all questionable. Caleb Farley is out.
Okay, I thought you were going to say they were all out.
Oh, no, questionable.
Like, okay. Questionable. So, you know, they're not
as of today.
That is. I'm even getting tweets right now that Taylor Lewan was announced. When did they start doing that?
I don't know.
I owe an apology to Lewan because apparently that happened, and I just missed it at the game.
I think we might have 30 texts in the text line all saying that. Some people are irrationally mad at you for saying that it didn't happen.
Well, I don't care about that.
Well, I'm just saying.
I mean, they don't do that. Maybe they have a new rule for Taylor Lewan.
Well, that's what I asked. Maybe they have special rules for podcasters.
Maybe it says, hey, we need to give Taylor as much attention as possible. Maybe it'll help him play better.
What about radio hosts? Do we get anything kind of fun?
No, we get booted.
Now entering the stadium, Jared Stillman, official proponent of Papa John's mini pizzas.
Yeah, no, you were not here, obviously, for the time that the Jared and the GM radio program was loudly welcomed, similarly to Taylor Lewan's response there at the Predators Blues game in 2018. It was, what was funny was after it happened, you know, the fans boo.
No such thing as bad publicity.
I'm not a huge fan of that idea. But, I mean, like, yeah, no, I'm not a huge fan of that. But, like, after that happened, like, we're up in the, you know, the suite or whatever, and our general manager at the time, Jana Hampton, is saying to me, she's like, you like that, though. That's good, though, right? Like, that's, I'm like, no. I want everybody in my hometown arena, I want them to be like, Jared.
Well, at least you're getting some sort of reaction.
Yeah. I'd rather have that one than this one. But you know what? It is what it is. I'm just not upset that they booed. But I would prefer
Jared.
Jared. Jared. And I think we should get that going. That's just
that's Corey just a trend Curtis. I'm not hopping on.
Corey Curtis News 2 will join us next. Stillman & Company Fireball Hot Take Friday. FanDuel Sportsbook is my official sportsbook app. The NFL is back, and FanDuel Sportsbook wants you to get the most out of every play. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every single week. All you have to do is bet a same game parlay bet with three legs or more, and if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. For example, a parlay, Derrick Henry's rushing total, hit the under on that. Ryan Tannehill throwing, hit the over. Money line on the Titans, I think they're going to win. Go ahead and take it. So you can get a parlay and you can win huge. There's no feeling like nailing a same-game parlay, so lock in today on the FanDuel Sportsbook app and get up to $10 back if your bet doesn't win. If you're new to FanDuel Sportsbook, you can get 30-1 odds on the Chiefs and the Ravens by using the promo code JGM. Again, 30-1 on either team, promo code JGM. 21 and older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same-game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on the mobile/web. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789. Stillman & Company Silly Underdog Picks are back. Go to GameNashville.com or the ESPN The Game mobile app and pick your underdog teams today. You can win weekly prizes like a pair of tickets to a sporting event or a concert in Nashville. Silly Underdog Picks is brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. I do owe Taylor Lewan an apology. I just want to make that clear that I guess they did announce him returning to the game and the fans did boo, and I guess I just didn't pick up on that in the stadium. And apparently a lot of people are blaming the new PA announcer, saying that was like he was trying to hype up the crowd. Like, hey, guys, Taylor's back in.
And I think they got the wrong response there.
They booed. And so,
yeah, read the
again,
room.
You know, I've been through that. It's, you know, it is what it is. Play better and they'll cheer. Also, the Titans have added Ryan Santoso to their practice squad. Ian, I guess he must have missed some kicks on Sunday for Carolina because he was their kicker. And I guess he's not their kicker anymore. So
interesting. I didn't
add
see
Ryan's.
That.
Yeah, so Ryan Santoso to the practice squad, and I got to say that I don't feel very great about that. Corey Curtis joins us now on the program. Corey Curtis presented by Invigorate Health. If you look and feel your best with IV therapy, medical weight loss, testosterone, health and wellness, and body shaping treatments, invigoratehealthtn.com for more info. Corey, I think the Titans are going to win on Sunday, and I think it because over the 3 years that Mike Vrabel has been the coach, every time that they have looked pathetic, they follow it up with a win you don't expect, and I feel like this is setting up for that. But other than that, I cannot put my finger on any one thing that I feel good about right now with the Titans. How do you feel?
Well, the number you're talking about is 8-2. They're 8-2 under Mike Vrabel following a double-digit loss, and they've won 7 in a row following a double-digit loss. Now, you know, that's impressive, but you're going to Seattle, who's one of the better teams in the league, and you're going to be playing their first home game in front of fans in 2 years. It's going to be a really hostile environment. I mean, so if they can pull this off, it will be a very impressive job. Now, I agree with you. You know, there's the old saying that nobody puts baby in a corner. You know, Mike Vrabel in a corner has been really, really good. And I don't know, you know, what his secret sauce is, but he's able to get the team focused, believing, working on the right things. And maybe this team needed some of that. Maybe there was a too much press clipping readings going into this season. Who knows? But I do think they'll play better. I don't know if it will be good enough to win, because they're playing a good football team.
Here's my question, is if they're going to win this game, which I have not been able to come up with in my head, and again, I think they're going to win. If they do win, how are they going to do it? Seattle's one of the better run defensive teams in the league. They were fifth last year, and we just looked it up. They shut down Jonathan Taylor last week. They shut down Zeke last year. They shut down Dalvin Cook last year. I mean, Pete Carroll, they couldn't stop the run to save their lives a couple of years ago. They're great against it now. So if you're not going to be able to run there, and I don't think the Titans are necessarily going to be able to pass there, and I worry about them being able to block and kick and play defense against Russell Wilson, how are they going to win this game?
I don't know. You have spelled out a very problematic situation. You know, they did lock down Jonathan Taylor, but I think he had 6 catches for 60 yards in that game, which would mean this would have been a nice game to have Darrington Evans on the field, right? Mm-hmm. But that's obviously not going to happen because he's still hurt. By the way, he got engaged, so congratulations to him on that. How do they win? Well, I mean, number one, they're going to have to protect their quarterback. And last week, I think the PFF grade for Seattle was the number 2 pass rush for pressure in the league. And they generally do it bringing 4. So they're going to have to pass protect. All right? They're going to have to pass protect. They're going to have to be able to give him time. And you know what? They're going to have the coaching staff's going to have to adapt if they can't do it. They can't just be stubborn and not keep in a tight end to help this week. They can't watch as one guy gets 5 sacks. So they're going to have to find a way to protect the quarterback. And, you know, how do you win in those situations? You create turnovers. I mean, those are game-changing plays. You take care of the ball and you create turnovers. It's what we talked about. This defense, all through training camp and all through the preseason, was creating turnovers. And the one blip they had in that game against Arizona was when Kevin Byard got the pick and then they scored the touchdown and they were within 11. And you're like, okay, they've got a chance. They've got to be able to do that. Now, against Russell Wilson and company, that's not easy. But, you know, they've got to be themselves. That's the bottom line. They've got to go back to their identity, and that's punching people in the mouth and moving forward and not beating themselves. And they didn't do either of those things last week.
Corey Curtis, News 2's our guest. Do you have as much of a problem with Todd Downing as the fans do?
Look, I am not going to overreact to one game, and it's very difficult to call plays when your offensive line isn't blocking, all right? And they got whipped up front in that football game. I do have a problem, though, as I mentioned earlier, with their total unwillingness to adapt, to keep in. I mean, what did we talk about last year, the whole second half of the season, of why Jonnu Smith's numbers were down? They were down because he wasn't going out in as many pass routes because they were keeping him in to help Quisenberry or Sombrilo at left tackle, right? Well, you know, you're watching Chandler Jones just run roughshod through half your team, okay, and you're not adapting to it. You chip a little bit with the running back, but I was watching. I was like, when are they going to start keeping in a tight end? And they didn't. And frankly, I don't think that Jeff Swaim is that valuable out there 15 yards downfield. Just call me crazy. He's had about 10 years in the NFL to prove he is, and he isn't, okay? But for some reason, they had to have him out there, and, you know, they kept putting guys one-on-one in situations where they weren't winning one-on-one. And you have to be able to adapt. You can't just be stubborn. And so I was very, very disappointed with that. I know, you know, there's been a lot of questions about play-action passes. You can't call play-action passes when you're down 20 points. They're not any good. And when you can't run the football, they don't work. They're laughing at you going after your quarterback still. You know, we'll see how this week goes. You know, if things are bad in 3 more weeks, you know, after 4 games, and if we don't see any progress, then, you know, I'll say, well, what the heck is going on here? But, you know, I was disappointed in their inability to adapt more than anything, and that's just one game, so we'll see what happens.
Two things that are bothering me, Corey. One is I don't think they have a tight end or a right tackle, like a starting caliber player on their team at tight end or right tackle. The other is they get absolutely nothing out of this draft class right now, and last year's draft class has one guy that's helping them in Christian Fulton, and I just don't think you can win in the NFL with either of those things.
Well, look, I'm probably biased, I know, because I always joke about him being the all-time leading receiver in Southern Illinois history. But Michael Pruitt might be the best all-around tight end on this team as far as ability to catch the ball and block.
That's true. I don't disagree with you that he may be the best all-around tight end, and he is a practice squad player. So,
well, I think he's better than a practice squad player. I mean, I definitely think he's better than a practice squad
player. But he got cut from the 49ers and
yes,
went to the practice squad. Like, no other team in the league sees him as a starting tight end, and he may be the best option to start at tight end for this team. And I just don't think you can win in the NFL with that.
I agree with you that they did not approach that position with any type of urgency in the offseason. I mean, they didn't bring in anybody. They didn't even bring Michael back. They planned on replacing him with Tommy Hudson? I don't know. I mean, and this is why we were all saying that they were only going to run, you know, single tight end sets, because it didn't look like they were putting a priority on having quality tight ends on the team. As far as right tackle goes, it is one of the most damning things for this entire organization. In the last 2 drafts, they have used a first-round pick and a second-round pick on their right tackle. Yet, on your opening game of the season, neither one of those guys is even in uniform. That is whiffing on a ridiculously bad level, okay? And I know everybody misses. Everybody misses. We all know that. But wow, I mean, that's rough. That's rough, and it's costing this football team right now.
And the second part being, Corey, the draft class. I mean, last year's draft class, we know that they missed on Isaiah Wilson. We know Darrington Evans can't stay healthy. This year's draft class right now, I mean, I understand the idea that, hey, guys are going to get better over time, but they can't get Caleb Farley on the field. They can't get Dylan Radins on the field. They've already cut Des Fitzpatrick. Rashad Weaver's inactive. I mean, I'm embarrassed with these draft classes right now.
You know, you would think some of these guys could be impact players right out of the gate. I mean, boy, Farley's got a new injury. He's got a shoulder. Did he practice today?
No, he's out.
Oh, God.
See?
Yeah, that's a rough start. That's a rough start. You know, Molden got beat for a touchdown. You know, Radins is, I mean, he's a wash for this year, it looks like. I mean, we talked about how, you know, or I guess I talked about how this draft class was not a draft class to take chances. It's why I was so shocked with the Caleb Farley pick, because I didn't think that they could take a chance after last year. And I understand why they took a chance. But right now, I mean, they got nothing out of their first 3 picks last year. And who are their first 3 picks this year? Farley, Radins, and
Molden. No, Farley, Radins, and Monty Rice.
Monty Rice. Okay. Okay. And then Weaver and Molden are their 4th and 5th picks. Molden played, and Weaver couldn't dress.
Nope. You left Des Fitzpatrick out. The great Des Fitzpatrick. You forgot about him.
They traded up. They traded three picks to get him.
I mean, I would not be surprised, and I'm not trying to like throw a hot take out here, get anybody fired. I wouldn't be surprised if after the season, you know how coaches fire their coordinators when they're about to get fired? Because I wouldn't be surprised if Robinson fires the entire scouting staff.
yeah, I mean, wouldn't be surprised if he reorganized it, moved some guys around or something, because you're right. I mean, it's, you know, ultimately he's the one pulling the trigger on sure. those, on those players. But wow. I mean, that's, and then, you know, it sounds like we're just piling on John Robinson, who we all like and all have a lot of respect for, but the results are the results, right? I mean, and we're just talking about what the results are. Last year they aren't good, and this year they aren't good. And then we also just talked about no urgency at tight end, and they're not getting anything out of that position. And what was the other position there was no urgency out of?
Right tackle.
Kicker.
Oh, yeah, kicker. You're right.
Yeah, they drafted a kicker in the second round. They thought they had one. They missed. There was no urgency on kicker, and we're back on the carousel again.
Yes. Corey Curtis, News 2 with us. Fireball Hot Take Friday. What's your hot take this week, Corey?
You know, I got nothing. I'm just going to say I got nothing. I got no hot takes, because you know why I got no hot takes? Because it's week 2 in the NFL, and you just don't know.
That's the best time for hot takes. What are you talking about?
No, but you think you can react to week 1, but you can't, because it's just so completely different. I mean, it's like bizarro world. You know what? I'll give you a gambling hot take. I love the Chargers and Cowboys over. Love it.
I don't even know if I can watch that game.
55 points.
55 points. I'm going over. You don't even have a hot take that Daniel Jones stinks or anything after last night?
No.
I think Daniel Jones stinks.
The division stinks. The division's terrible.
Corey Curtis, News 2, as always, News 2 has tons of Titans coverage. TN Nation on Saturday, and, of course, Sports Extra, and all their coverage following the game on Sundays. Appreciate you, Corey.
All right, thanks, Joe. You have a good weekend.
Yep, you too. Corey Curtis, News 2, joining us on the program. I do feel bad, you know, looking at these draft classes and the fact that Caleb Farley is out for this Sunday against Seattle, and talking bad about the draft class and making it about John Robinson, because I think John Robinson's doing a good job. But, I mean, somebody at some point in this scouting department has got to go. I mean, somebody, this is embarrassing.
I mean,
what's going on with these draft classes?
This is a perpetual issue, because whiffing on a pick, whiffing on a draft, it happens. It's, you know, you do what you can to try and predict who's going to bring the most to your team, but sometimes things happen.
Like, I mean,
Isaiah Wilson, for example, like, did anybody know that it would end up being that bad?
Sure. And the one thing I'll say, too, is when you make a bad pick, sometimes there's a good pick that covers that up. So,
exactly.
So Pac-Man Jones was a bad pick in 2005, but Cortland Finnegan was taken in the seventh round in 2006. So it's like, okay, that kind of made you take a seventh-round guy that's a Pro Bowler, like, okay. But, I mean, this is just, like, this is just bad.
Continuously do it. Like, the fact that the Titans have one pick in the past two drafts on the field on Sunday.
That's embarrassing. Two, because Molden's on the field.
In week one,
yeah,
it was
and
one.
Molden's not ready to play.
Two in week two.
And the second thing is, this is what they need to do. They need to take the personnel files, the personnel roster, not football, but like in the scouting department or whatever. They need to get that. They need to look at the 29 scouting department roster, the 2020, 2021. Whoever was there in 2019, who's not there in 2020 and 2021, I don't care if it's Janice who makes the coffee in the office. I don't care. Get them back. Because I don't know how you go from Jeffrey Simmons, A.J. Brown, Nate Davis, Amani Hooker to this.
I'm sure it had something to do with Janice.
Janice,
just putting something in that coffee.
Get that coffee
get
back, Janice.
Get Janice back.
Oh, my. Whoever the hell it is. If it's Janice or Joseph.
Steve has done a great job.
And Steve's working for the, you know, pick a random bum team. Steve's now with the Jets. Get Steve.
Get Steve back.
Steve.
It's way better this time of year in Nashville than it is
right
in New York.
Now. Because the defense can't figure out that Dean Pease, you know, smoke and mirrored his way to not horrible defenses for 2 years. They need to kind of figure out whoever the Dean Pease was in the scouting department. They need to bring that person back. And don't let anybody's ego, Robinson or Vrabels, don't let that get in the way. Just go bring that person back. 615-737-1025. A.J. Brown. I already got mad about Taylor Lewan, about attention grabbing.
Mad again?
I'm not mad. But I am annoyed, given the circumstances, about something A.J. Brown did yesterday. We'll get to that coming up next. Edmunds, my people at Edmunds, buying a car can be overwhelming, especially now that demand is back in full swing. Luckily for you, Edmunds has been taking the stress out of car shopping for over 50 years. That's right. Trust me, I know all of the stress that comes with buying a car. Financing the car, how are you going to do that? You know, is this a car that fits your price range? There's a lot of things you got to figure out. Edmunds editors, though, will make it a lot easier to pick which one you want because their drivers drive over half a mile every year, testing thousands of hours on hundreds of new vehicles. They review almost every car in the market and rank the best ones in each category so you can narrow your search and compare options side by side to find the best vehicle for you. When you're ready, my friends at Edmunds make it easy to find options in your area with accurate price estimates. They've got helpful filters so you can search color, model, special features, engine type, drivetrain, price, distance, and more. They even show you dealerships that are offering home delivery. You know I love that. Edmunds is here to help guide you to your perfect vehicle. Visit Edmunds.com to see their best car rankings and search for vehicles near you. That's Edmunds.com. For cars, there's Edmunds. Stillman and Company on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Let me tell all the fine folks out there that you can, hold on. Do you want to win a pair of tickets to see the Rolling Stones at Nissan Stadium on Saturday, October 9th? Head over to YouTube and subscribe to the 102.5 The Game YouTube page, and you'll enter for your chance to see the Stones. One winner will be chosen on Monday, September 20th, and that is kind of a big deal since it is, in fact, the Rolling Stones. A.J. Brown's matted out kick 360. So Chad Withrow will be with us later today. But A.J. Brown, and I didn't see this until earlier today. Robbie and Rexford were talking about it. But A.J. Brown, and I have no idea what A.J. said, and I have no idea what Paul Hutton and Chad said. So I just... You know, not to say that I like those guys, but I don't know what they said. So yesterday they tweeted out the link to their show and said, AJ Brown wants Titan fans to know the team is trying their best. AJ Brown, they also did not tag AJ Brown in this tweet. So somebody must have tagged AJ and AJ saw it or something.
Or AJ searches himself on Twitter,
which I wouldn't rule out. AJ Brown said, quote, "Look, you three clowns. Yes, I called you a clown because y'all have a lot to say and never played a sport in your life, but knows everything somehow. I do not tweet about my job or my team. You can be negative, that's fine, but stop trying to make something out of my tweets." I have no idea what he tweeted. I have no idea what they're referring to. I have no idea. Can I say I'm a little bothered by A.J. Brown on the Thursday of the Seattle Seahawks week being focused on what Outkick 360 is saying about him?
And I think that we had this conversation about a month or so ago about why is A.J. Brown so concerned about what people are saying on Twitter with the media saying, yeah, why are you so worried? Was it Josh Reynolds?
Yeah,
that's
Paul,
when he got mad at Paul Kaharsky.
Paul had a video of Josh Reynolds.
He said he didn't look explosive.
And by the way, where's Josh Reynolds?
Yes. What happened to this dangerous offense, Josh? Anyways, I do have an issue. I understand A.J. Brown wanting to step up and be a leader, defend his teammates. And, you know, if you want to do that during training camp when it's July 1st, I don't have as big of a problem with it. But I feel like whenever it's week one, whenever preseason's game starts, there is nothing else that should matter in your life. There is nothing that should rile you up more than losing week one to the Arizona Cardinals, like Paul and Hutton and Chad worked up A.J. Brown. I mean, get off of Twitter, dude.
Like, who cares?
Who cares? Who cares what they say?
Who cares?
And also them saying that, you know, A.J. Brown, you know, said, what did he say? What did Outkick 360 saying that A.J. Brown said
he wants Titan fans to know that they're trying hard.
What is bad about that? I mean, I don't understand the context, but they didn't say A.J. Brown is a bad guy and we should all hate him. No, like, I don't understand what the problem is here.
So there's a couple of things that bother me about this. The first off being, you know, dude, get ready for the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Like, get off the phone, like press click and it's gone. And I don't have a lot of sympathy for guys who make a lot of money that can't do that. That can't log off Twitter. And there are some people that just can't do it. Kurt Schilling was the number one broadcast analyst on ESPN for baseball, mm-hmm. would be in the Baseball Hall of Fame if he could just click off.
Yeah.
You know, like, just click off. Just turn it off. Like, oh, look, click. It's off. It's gone.
It doesn't exist anymore.
So that bothers me, that AJ is that worked up. That bothers me. It's like, where's your head at? And I'm not sitting here saying your head's not in the game, but I'm asking you, where's your head at? Question mark. Secondly, thing that bothers me about this is that, like, do you really want to start? Like, you stay out of the sports talk radio and whatever, you know, you want to call what Outkick 360 is, because it's not radio, but it's, you know, digital radio,
streaming
basically.
Service, yeah.
You know, sports talk radio is like a playground. It's where everybody just goes to get away. But the players and the coaches need to stay out of it. Now, even Jerry Jones said today he listens. Jerry Jones has a gazillion dollars. And he said today, admitted, yeah, I listen. I read. And I've always said that the people that say they don't listen are always the ones who listen the most. But the players, for the most part, need to not worry about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
They need to not watch the TV. They need to not, like, they just need to ignore it. And you, there's one of two things. Either you can read it and ignore it. Like, when everybody says, I hate Jared Stillman on Twitter, I read it and I ignore it. Now, if it's like, you know, like Chris Martell spent, you know, 5 years every day tweeting about me. Finally, I had to body bag the guy because he was just driving me insane. But even then, I didn't want to do it because as a media person, I just view him so beneath that, like, or so beneath me, I guess. Like, and I just, at some point, you know, I like, all right, fine, click. But in, like, it, when it comes to something that matters, no, like, you got to stay out of it. And I think, okay, either you can be the person who can read it and just dismiss it and go on about your day, or you got to be the person who just has to turn it off. And you just, you have to pick. And clearly, AJ can't be the person to turn it off. So, or AJ can't be the person to read it and dismiss it, so he's got to be the one to turn it off. And I'm not saying it's a bad look, good look, whatever. I mean, he puts up 200 yards this week, good for him. But, like, where is his head at if he's that mad at Paul Kaharsky and subsequently dragging Hutton and Chad into this? Like, how focused can he be on trying to beat the Seahawks if he's on Twitter getting mad at Paul Kaharsky? And I know, you can do more than one thing at once. I get it. I've been watching, you know, 1990s basketball highlights for the last 2 months, and we've, you know, did the best August in the history of Stillman and Company. So you can do more than one thing at once. I mean, you can be a teacher and also be a millionaire, apparently,
yeah,
according to Dave Ramsey.
According to Dave Ramsey.
I mean, so you can do anything, I guess, but I just, that one just, I like, AJ, just put it down.
Yeah, and
click.
I think that there's nothing that you could say on Twitter that speaks louder volume than what you could do on the field. So, AJ,
sure,
you're upset about, you know, Outkick 360 saying that the Titans are trying hard, that they're trying hard to win. Well, you know what? Why don't you go out and try hard to win on Sunday?
And then go win.
And then go win. And then go show them, look, we're trying. We're a better team than this. There's nothing that AJ Brown could do in a positive way. I think there were some things that he could do off the field that would probably speak a little bit louder, but you know what I mean. Nothing speaks louder than your performance on the field on Sunday.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've never been a professional athlete. I've been a student. If I have a huge test, a big test, if I have, this is one of my 17 tests of the year, I'm putting Twitter away, and I'm focusing on that one test, and that's exactly what A.J. Brown has.
And if you can't handle it professionally, then you got to turn it off.
Yeah.
And so I just think, I think A.J.'s got to be one of these guys, and he won't be, but I feel like A.J. maybe needs to be one of these guys that just, you know, logs out during the season. I think it was like the Celtics had to have a meeting with Kyrie Irving and tell him to get off Instagram one time because it was like ruining his happiness, and it's like, you know, it's different for the younger people nowadays.
Social media is tricky.
Social media is awful. TriStar Moving. They're not. They're great. 615-737-1025. TriStar Moving. I've been talking about TriStar Moving. I moved about a year ago. And when I moved with TriStar Moving, they made it so easy. I mean, seriously. If you're thinking about moving, don't just call one moving company. I would say get bids and watch how great the TriStar experience is. In fact, I lied. Call one company. Call TriStar. Because they're my official movers. And I absolutely love them. But seriously, get a bid from TriStar if you're going to move. And just see what they say. Because I know the owners, Garrett and Robert, and they're true Nashvillians. And they want to help out the community. And they want to take care of your home and make sure that your moving experience is as stress-free as possible. They will protect your home. And they're always upping the game when it comes to mover training. When I moved, all my furniture and everything else was taken great care of, including all the TVs they put in protective boxes. They even have a state-of-the-art storage facility in Mount Juliet. This company is the real deal, and they're on the rise quickly due to the high standards that TriStar Moving holds. If you're looking to move, give my friends at TriStar Moving a call, 615-640-1219, or visit that website, nashvillemoving.org/radio, where they'll give you 5% off your entire move. That's TriStar Moving, 615-640-1219, nashvillemoving.org/radio. Tell them Jared Stillman sent you. TriStar Moving, my official movers. Join Chase McCabe tomorrow at Brewhouse South at 1855 Galleria Boulevard in Franklin for Chasers Tailgate. Stop by and hang with Chase and watch the Alabama-Florida game. Enjoy some beer specials and some great food. Kickoff for the game is at 2:30. Can we get, watching the game at my house sponsored?
No.
Why not?
Mm-mm. Judge says no.
You are not the judge.
I am. Yes, I am.
I did ask you the question, though. You don't think somebody would want to come up in my TV room and watch the game with me and have that
sponsor
presented
it.
By so-and-so?
What's the catch here? What's the allure?
It's like one lucky winner every month gets to watch a Titans game with me at my house.
Well, pitch it. I'm sure someone would love to do that.
But then I want to be the one that reaps the benefit of the money that comes in there. And then the more I thought about that, that probably
you
not
just
happen.
Want money,
just free money
to and someone to hang out with.
Sure. I mean, sacrificing
all around a great day.
I usually watch the Titans games at my parents' house with my dad. So, you know, I'd be sacrificing. But I've watched
I think you could grin and bear it if that meant a check comes your way.
I think I've watched like 3 or 4 Titan games at home, like my own house.
Well, I mean, it's kind of fun. Go to your parents' house.
Oh, yeah.
Get
no.
free soon food.
As soon as the pregame show's over, I'm in the car, and I'm over there at my parents' house watching the game with my dad.
That's fun.
Going crazy about the coach.
I would if I could.
Titans text 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. What do we have, Caroline?
One texter texts in and says, should have paid Jonnu and let Arthur keep Julio. At least we'd have another super freak on the team in their prime who can do it all.
You know, I am not the biggest Jonnu Smith fan in the world because I do think that you can get a tight end who can help you win who is less money than Jonnu Smith. Mm-hmm. Like, I love Jonnu Smith at the rookie contract, the prices, you know, the $900,000 against the cap as opposed to the $15 million or whatever that Jonnu's ultimately going to start costing the Patriots. I'm not a huge fan of that. At the same time, they don't have a starting tight end. Like, the Titans do not have a starting tight end. And I got to tell you what was concerning to me in week one, and I don't think we discussed this enough, but I found it very concerning how little Anthony Firkser played in running situations. Because for the whole off season, I said, like, Firkser's not a starter. Like, he's just not a starter. And everybody's, Firkser will be fine. He'll be fine. And I remember TD and I were arguing one time because I said to TD, I'm like, Firkser can't block. And TD said, well, he doesn't have to block. He just has to get in the way. And I'm like, And then when I see them not putting Firkser in the game in running situations on Sunday, I get concerned that the Titans really don't think Firkser can block. The only reason I entertain that they thought he could block, because they've never trusted him to block in the last 3 years, mm-hmm. The only thing that it made me think that they thought he could block is that they didn't go out and sign Gerald Everett to a one-year, $5 million contract, or they didn't sign Jared Cook, or they didn't sign, you know, one of these guys. They didn't draft anybody. Like, they didn't do anything. And so I'm like, okay, I guess they think that they've taught Firkser how to block, and now Firkser's not out there on the field. And I said to my dad the other day, I said, can you imagine, like, the Titans telling Frank Wycheck, like, hey, you're not going to block, and then having to take Frank Wycheck off the field every time they gave the ball to Eddie George? They would never won a game. And so I have such a problem with this. They don't have a tight end. And I'm not asking to have a good tight end. I'm just asking to have any tight end. And they don't have a starting tight end. Swaim is not a starter. He was cut by Jacksonville. He was a third stringer in Dallas. And he was your fourth string tight end last year. You had Jonnu Smith, Anthony Firkser, Michael Pruitt, Jeff Swaim. He was your fourth string tight end, and he is your starting tight end. And that's embarrassing. Like, that's embarrassing. And you can't win in the NFL with that. You can't win in the NFL with a backup right tackle and a backup tight end. Because while injuries happen, and not every player by the time you get to the Super Bowl is going to be a Pro Bowl caliber player or even a starting caliber player, you have to account for those injuries eventually catching up with you. So every team's going to get injured X amount of times. So if you've got a backup right tackle because you don't have a starting right tackle, and then somebody else gets hurt, now you're putting more pressure on your already backup tight end. And that's what the Titans are doing with their tight end and right tackle. And it drives me insane because it's ridiculous. It was like last year when they would leave up three outside linebackers for games. I'm like, is Harold Landry going to get a rest? No. I felt like that was ridiculous. What else we got?
Well, we have a very split consensus about the game on Sunday. There are some people who think it's absolutely absurd that the Titans have any chance to win on Sunday. There are some people that are kind of with you that are like, the Titans have done this before and they'll do it again. But David Arkansas in Arkansas is not one of those people. He says simply no. The crowd will be too much. O-line sucked last week. Imagine what it'll be like when communication will be limited. They'll eat Tannehill and Henry up again.
What do you think the final score is if the Titans play on Sunday the same way they played last Sunday against Arizona?
45-3.
I don't discredit any of that.
It may sound ridiculous, but if it was that bad against Arizona, Seattle's that much better.
I don't discredit any of that. And I'm scared of that, honestly. Like I said, I think the Titans are going to win on Sunday. But I am scared, like legitimately worried, that the game on Sunday is going to remind you of the Arizona game. And if that happens, then we have to talk about how bad this team is. And if that happens, then you're going to start seeing a lot of finger pointing. Because you're going to see, you know, this whole Vrabel-Robinson thing, case in point, everybody hates the coordinators right now. Well, that's a Vrabel problem. But they're not getting anything from their draft class. They don't have a starting right tackle. They don't have a starting tight end. That's a Robinson thing. And you're going to start to see some things, and I just don't want any part of that. So I am fearful. While I am hopeful and expecting them to win on Sunday, I am fearful that what we saw Sunday was not an aberration, and that is who they are. And you can feel more than one thing at one time. And that's how I feel about it. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, Marcus Spears. My goodness.
Ooh, he was heated.
Did you guys talk about that yesterday?
We did not.
Okay, I want to get to it now. Marcus Spears. Because even if you guys had talked about it yesterday when I was out.
It still deserves to be addressed.
I'm discussing this. Marcus Spears on the Titans defense. And I got to say this. He makes some points. We'll get to that coming up next. First, though, Caroline wants to tell all of you about BetUS.
I have a message for the sports bettors out there because I want to tell you about my favorite sports book, and that is BetUS. Football is finally back, so it's time to get in on the betting action. So BetUS has been America's favorite sports book for over 25 years, and that is exactly why I endorse them. They've been around a long time. They have a great reputation. They have integrity and longevity, and when you win, you know you will get paid with BetUS. So BetUS offers everything. They have live bets, they have MMA, they have golf, they have horses, esports, football, basketball, baseball, whatever you want to bet on, I guarantee you they have it. So call BetUS today and they'll walk you through setting up an account. Super easy. All you got to do, call 1-800-79-BETUS. That is 1-800-79-BETUS, and you can get up to 200% in bonuses. Nobody in the industry gives bigger bonuses than BetUS. Join now, mention GAME, G-A-M-E, and you can get a sign-up bonus on your first deposit. Nobody in the industry beats that. I bet at BetUS, so should you. It's a great sportsbook. Go now to BetUS.com. Join today. Put in promo code GAME for a sign-up bonus on your first deposit. That is BetUS.com.